It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that MMA spot.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Amber May Show. I am so glad that you are here with me today. Today I'm going to be talking about something that affects almost all of us, man. I always used to think it was just me, but I'm kind of finding out that it's affecting a lot of women, and we're going to talk about our self-talk and how we think about ourselves, and that's what we're talking about today, so I hope you'll stay with us. Would you do me a favor and pause this episode, and please share it to your Instagram stories and tag me, Amber May, in it, so that it helps other women find this podcast, and then I will share you sharing me. That would be awesome, and if you do me another favor and go to iTunes and leave a written review, that would be fabulous as well. So there's a couple books I want to talk about today, and the links will be in the show notes, so make sure you check that out if this is a book that's kind of interesting to you. I really enjoyed reading The Battlefield of the Mind, Winning the Battle Within from Joyce Myers, and there's going to be a link in the show notes to that. And today I'm going to be reading an excerpt from John Maxwell, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. And so if you're interested in reading that book, the link will also be in the show notes as well, because I just feel like we can't be our best selves and give our best to our family, our friends, our coworkers, our employer, if we don't think highly of ourselves. And when we don't think highly of ourselves, we allow ourselves to be vulnerable to, like, if we're wanting a relationship with a man, we're more valuable to find people that don't deserve us, because we don't think highly of ourselves, so we settle for the lowest denominator. And then we cheat ourselves of having a really fruitful relationship, and it all because we just don't think that we're worthy of having a worthy relationship. So I want to share this excerpt from the John Maxwell book that I'm reading, and it's wonderful. It's entitled The Law of the Mirror. You must see value in yourself to add value to yourself. So why do so many people fail to grow and reach their potential? I've concluded that one of the main reasons is low self-esteem. Many people don't believe in themselves. They don't see the possibilities that God put in them. They possess 100 acres of possibilities, yet never cultivate them because they're convinced that they won't be able to learn and grow and blossom into something wonderful. That was the case for Janetta McSwan, whose story I recently learned about. For more than 30 years, she was someone who saw little value or potential in herself. But to be honest, there were many legitimate reasons for her poor perception of herself. She was born to a single mother who didn't want her and told her so. She and her sister Sonia was a year older, along with a cousin, and they spent the first 5 or 6 years of their life being raised by their grandmother in Birmingham, Alabama. But the house was also shared by 3 uncles who abused all 3 of the children psychologically, physically, and sexually. Janetta was scared both physically and emotionally. By the time I was 5 years old, says Janetta, I had already started to believe that I was not only inferior, but I was also a child abandoned by her own mama. As a child, I had no place, no voice, and no worth at all. When Janetta and Sonia's mother learned about the abuse, she moved the 3 girls in a new home. But the abuse continued, this time from men her mother brought home. Sonia ultimately responded by living on the streets and turning to crack cocaine. Janetta avoided drugs, but she spent much of her time on the streets and dropped out of high school in the 11th grade. She had her first child out of wedlock at age 18 or 19, and then a second child in her mid-20s. For the most part, she lived in government-supported housing and on government assistance and relied on her boyfriends for additional support. To keep herself in designer clothes, she resorted to shoplifting. Sonia's perspective sums up the state that we're in. Everybody in my family been in jail, on drugs, didn't finish high school. So what do I have to live for? What do I got to amount to? Nothing. What I got to accomplish? Nothing. Janetta's 30th birthday caused her to look in the mirror. She didn't like what she saw, and she writes, "That day I woke up and realized I had absolutely nothing to celebrate, no money, no full-time job, no home, no husband, no clue, not even the will to do better. At last, I knew it was time to make some changes." She wasn't happy with her life, and she realized that she couldn't continue in the same direction she was going. Her 2 sons would also be headed for trouble, As far as she knew, not a single male member of her family had ever finished high school. Many died young or ended up in jail, and she didn't want that for her boys. Janetta, the process started with her working on getting her GED. She took a 20-week course to prepare and then took the test. She needed a score of a 45 to pass, and she received a 44.5, but she was determined to make something of herself, so she scheduled a retake at her first opportunity. And when she passed, she was excited to be chosen to speak at the graduation ceremony. No one from her family bothered to attend. Janetta knew that if she was going to change, she needed to leave Birmingham and get a fresh start. And she wanted to do something no one in her family had ever done: go to college. She decided to move to Atlanta, Georgia, and she was motivated by a profound thought: I get a chance to be anyone I want to be. It took her almost 3 years to pull it off, but she made the move. She enrolled in a university and decided to take more of a full load every semester. She was 33 years old when she started school, and she was street smart, but not very book smart, at least not at first. That intimidated her in the beginning, but for the first time in her life, she was determined to be better, and soon she realized she could do it. I realized I didn't have to be smart, Janetta explains. I just had to be determined, motivated, and focused. This came with a high price tag for me. I had to exchange my thinking. I had to think like a smart person. Not only did she study hard and stay focused, but she also sought out the smartest person in each of her classes and asked to study with her. Soon she was studying and thinking like the best students in the school. She also maintained the vision she had for her future. At the beginning of every semester, she went to the bookstore on campus and tried on a cap and gown, looking at herself in the mirror and imagining what it would look like to graduate. One day, when a classmate was talking to her, she had a realization. The classmate was saying, "I don't love myself. I'm a nobody." Janetta responded, "You sure can love you if I love me." And that's when it hit her. Maybe for the first time, I realized I loved myself. She had changed. She was turning into the person she wanted to be, and that she was created to be. Janetta completed the work for her bachelor's degree in 3 years, and she enrolled in graduate school, where she earned a master's degree in social work. Currently, she is working towards earning her doctorate. "I went for something that society told me you can't do," says Janetta. "Oh, yes, I can." So that's the power of self-esteem. When we think highly of ourselves, we can accomplish anything that we're set out to do. The Bible also talks about loving our neighbors as ourselves. So is that good news for your neighbor? That is the question of the day. Sometimes when we wake out of bed, the first things that come through our head are things that are self-destructive, things that tear us down instead of building us up, things that tell us that we're worthless, that we're not worthy, that we can't do it, that we're ugly, that we're this, that we're that, before we even put our feet on the ground. How do you think the rest of our day is going to flow when we are telling ourselves horrible things? You know, I am not someone that has not done that. I will raise my hand and I'll be amongst the crowd to say, yes, I have been there where I hated myself for years and years and years and years and years. And I don't know exactly when that turning point was. I don't know when exactly it started. It could have been as back as like junior high, because that was really rough. I don't know the exact point in my time when I really hated myself, when I would not say good things to myself. I don't know. But it's come to a point in my life where I realized that, wow, the things I say to me, I would never, never say to someone else. And why am I saying them to me if I would never say that to someone else? Because it's damn right cruel. I said it. So if you're in that situation, I want to ask you to think about what the Bible says. You can transform by the renewing of your mind, and what you think on is what you become. What you think on is what you become. You transform by the renewing of your mind. What you tell yourself is what you are going to become. And unfortunately, we don't have the right identities anymore in this society. We tell ourselves we're something that God completely never created us to be, something that we are not meant to become. And we tell ourselves this, and it's downright pitiful. And if we're that self-loathing to our own selves, how can we be a good mom? How can we be a good wife? How can we be a good friend? How can we be a good employee if we don't even think highly of ourselves? If we don't, and we tell ourselves we're never going to make it, we're very ugly, no one's ever going to love me, I'm horrible at this, I'm a terrible mom, I'm a terrible wife, my husband really doesn't love me, he only wants me because of sex and cleaning the house, my kids, don't respect me. I mean, these are all lies. These are all lies that we tell ourselves. We're ugly. We're not good enough. We're never going to make it. Why even try? Why even bother? So what I decided to do is put some mantras on my mirror. And some of those mantras came from an excerpt of a sermon that a pastor of ours said. So I taped an excerpt of that sermon and I posted it to my mirror. And then I started writing out the opposite of what I was thinking about myself. I am worthy. I am loved by others. My husband adores me. My kids, blah, 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 blah. And I did that. And I have to read that every day. And was it embarrassing? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was embarrassing. You know why it's embarrassing? Because my husband gets to see that I am struggling with my self-image. And I have to post up there on the mirror the things that I'm really weak on and the things that I tell myself. And he has to see that. And that was embarrassing. And that stopped me from putting mantras up for a very long time. But as I started putting those mantras and started saying those things or just reading them out, made a big difference for me. Another turning point is when I went to the Young Living beauty school. And we were taught how to use the makeup. And we had Carmendi from What Not to Wear there. And she was teaching us. And she uses the makeup all the time and loves it. She was there teaching us how to use it. But they also did a lot of people talking about, the speakers came on and talked about self-image and self-esteem. And that was so awesome to hear all that stuff. And so I really wanted to use the Young Living Savvy Mineral makeup to help women feel good about themselves. Because once I started switching to the makeup, I started getting compliments everywhere I went, online and offline. What do you think that did to my self-esteem? People never used to tell me, oh, you look so pretty. Or I wouldn't say never, but not very often. And what do you think that started doing when I started putting that makeup on? I'll tell you, my self-esteem didn't plummet and only got higher. And so as I started experiencing that and having people tell me I look pretty, and it started making me feel good on the inside too. And so I would encourage you, if there is something that you could do today that would make you feel good, because someone would say something, whether it's getting your hair done or your nails done or finding the Savvy Mineral makeup like I did, if it's something like that, that's going to make you feel good on the outside, do it as a jump start, as a starting point to helping you feel better on the inside. I'm going to post some videos in the show notes along with the links to these books that I mentioned that I've been reading, and some videos about my heart about wanting women to feel good. And a tool is the makeup that I've been using. So I'm going to put some links there. Please check them out. I hope they bless you, because that's the whole reason why I even made the videos. My heart, I hope you hear my heart and what I do. My podcast is about hope. My oils that I talk about are about healing the body. So everything I associate myself with is for the good of others. In the meantime, if I get a couple pennies, awesome. But the whole point of everything I do and what I like doing revolves around helping people. And I hope you hear my heart in that, because that's what my heart is. It's to help people. It's to get the word out. I don't want to see women crying on their pillows because they can't have babies. And I don't want to see people crying on their pillows because someone died of cancer. So if I can help you as a mom feel good and empowered, I want to do that. And those are the ways I do it for my own self. There's also something I want you to listen to in just a few minutes. And it's another thing that helped me break down that hatred I had for myself. It's so embarrassing, right? That you don't love yourself. Like, what's up with that? Why would I, the first thing I wake up and tell myself all these awful things? And then I heard this audio and it made me cry. It really did. It touched me to the deepest souls in my body. And I hope that you'll listen to it. And I pray that it will happen to you too. I hope that it will touch the deepest souls of your body and it will give you that revelation that you need to lift that burden, to give you hope and to make you feel loved after you hear this. And remember, I'm going to leave you with that. And remember, instead of thinking about just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you. But please, I hope you really enjoy this audio.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you. And He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me, you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb. And brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry. But am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you. Simply because you are my child, and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could. For I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope. Because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you. For you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you. And to tell you that I am not counting your sins, Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? For you.